Another tool that another church uses that's also free or something. I mean,
Well,
not
you just
free.
have to.
Right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. I am so grateful that we do have rain, but it's not raining now. I was on my way down to Solid Rock last night, down in the Bronx in Lehman College, and it was my first time going down the Bronx River Parkway when it's raining like that. So you know, when you put the GPS, it don't say avoid the Bronx River Parkway because it's raining. It doesn't tell you that. So I just get on that bad boy. I'm just, you know, I'm riding. And I realized I need to stay in the middle. There's no lane in the middle, but I had to stay there because of all the water that's on the sides. I didn't know that. So welcome to Westchester. But it's all right. It's all right. Man, I tell you what, this is not part of my notes, but man, Kyra, I am so flat out fired about this girl. Man, like it brought flashbacks when I was converted as a teen. And I remember participating in special missions and just giving my little dollar or whatever I had made all the difference in the world. And that is something, I think that is the heart of special missions. I totally believe we are going to meet the numeric goal. Just because we have generous givers, we have big givers, secret givers, I know we're going to meet the number goal. But the participation level, almost 50% is choosing not to participate. That's what that's saying. Like, not, I'm not gonna give my 10 times, 1,000 times. I'm not gonna give a dollar. I'm just gonna just come and observe. But then I listen to Kyra. It's a matter of fact that I participate. Why shouldn't I not participate? Isn't that what the scriptures teach me? We can learn a lot from the youth. We can learn a lot from the youth. So this morning, I was not supposed to preach today. Today we're supposed to have a guest speaker. Phil Garrison from the Jersey region was supposed to be here, him and his wife Leslie, but they fell ill and gave me the call and say, sorry bro, to keep you hanging dry, but we can't be here. And so I'm like, all right, amen. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, we got to rely on the Spirit and trust whatever is said is needed to be said. And so, you know, I definitely want to keep them in our prayers so they can get rested and get back to health. But next week I will not be here. Shayla and I will be with your brothers and sisters in the Bronx region. And so while we're there, Joe Casado, I see you. Joe Casado will be bringing the word to you next week. So that should be just as great. Just as great. And also, I also want to make a special acknowledgement. We have some special guests amongst us. I'm probably going to say this name wrong, and it's sad because you would think I'd be able to say this right, but Malus and Jeanette Phillip is here. These are the parents of Garth. So please stand on up. They're visiting from Haiti. Ça passe? They're visiting from Haiti and enjoying their time with their son and granddaughter, and just enjoying this fellowship. We welcome you guys. Thank you so much for being here. So I'm going to read, I know that's a lot before the sermon, but I want to read this to you guys. This is from Kevin and Andy Finity. It says, in light of many additional responsibilities and meetings this past year that required of us, the elders and the leadership recognize that the elders need to have the opportunities to unplug and have many sabbaticals from the ministry responsibilities. So Andy and I will be taking most of the month of August off. Starting this evening, this past Saturday, and they'll be gone for basically the remaining of the month. So if you reach out to me during the month, please understand I may not be responding to you until September. I could tell you, yeah. I can tell you this. partnering with Andy and Kevin, specifically Kevin, understand that, yes, he served, you know, he's on our leadership team here in Westchester, but he's an elder for the New York Church of Christ. And so there are things well beyond Westchester that he is also involved in. And he's been pulled in a lot of different directions. And so I am not only excited, but I 100% support his ability to step away from his responsibilities for a month, to recharge, reconnect, so that he can come back and be able to continue to serve at the capacity that he's been doing for so long. So definitely be praying for that and allowing him to enjoy that time. Now, I'm not going to the sermon yet because I want to say some thank yous. Last week, we had a send-off for the Powells. And I gotta tell you, went well above what we planned or imagined. So on behalf of the leadership, we want to thank all of you that were part of the planning, the decorating crew, the cleanup crew, the setup crew, the subcommittees, the people that signed up. Just you saw something and said, hey, let me try to make this a little bit more special. The cards, the letters, all of that was amazing. And I got a chance to hear from Sam and Cynthia, and they were so blown away. Cynthia echoed, she felt like she was right here with us. She saw the pictures. Sam was just elated, and he felt the respect and the honor and just the encouragement that all of you guys have given. So I just wanted to say thank you on their behalf to making sure that they were sent off properly. Now, I'm going to go ahead and transition now finally into the sermon, because that's what you came for. You didn't come for all these announcements. But before I jump into that, I want to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love that is undying. You have set the ultimate example of how much you love us. And so we pray that as we're listening to your words, as we are singing these songs and listening to others share about your words and how it impacted them, I pray at this hour that you are opening up our hearts to your word this morning, that we receive it with great eagerness, that we want to see your glory. We want to experience all the joys of being in your presence. We thank you so much again. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the sermon today is Love in Action. Because, you know, I sat and listened to the message Sam gave last week, and one of the takeaways that I had was love. And I know when we think of love, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues where that can come in. You could think about relationships. You could think about, you know, during your dating days, or there's a lot of different lanes that you can come into when you're thinking about love. But one of the things that really struck out to me that I wanted to share with everyone today is how we need to take this love and apply it with action. Like, not just leave it at the feeling part, which is not really what God was intending in the first place, but for us to go deeper and to allow it to reflect the decisions and the actions that we take because of the love. So that's what I'm aiming for. So I'm hoping that today that this love will resonate with you, and that it will inspire you to even do more than what you have been doing so far in love. So we're going to pick up in our main text in Matthew chapter 22, 36 to 40. And it reads, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You see, now, this love that Jesus is talking about is an unconditional sacrificial love. Notice it has nothing to do with how you feel in the moment. He's talking about this decision to be unconditional in the love that you have for our Father. This is what he's talking about. And in the tense that he's using in it, it's an action tense, it's in verb. So that means there's gotta be something behind this unconditional sacrificial love. There's gotta be something tied to it. It cannot stop at, I love you, Lord. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And that's it. Because that's not what he's talking about. He wants this love to be actionable. Now, when we think about how can we love God with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our hearts, one of the things that should come to mind is obedience. That is a way that you can put this love for God in action, is by obeying his commands. You see, because when you choose not to obey, then we're choosing not to be sacrificial, not to have this unconditional love that we're called to have for our Father. Now, I bring you to Genesis chapter 39, because there's an example in there I think kind of helps paint this picture of what it looks like to be obedient within God's law. Now, this is the story of Joseph. It says, and I'm gonna pick up right here in verse 9. It says, no one is greater than in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Just to give you a backdrop, remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and then he somehow ended up in Potiphar's house and gained the favor of, obviously, God and also Potiphar. And through that, he got more and more responsibility. But now with Joseph, the scripture says the man was handsome. And so his wife caught an eye for him. Now, mind you, she is married. She is a married woman who is aggressively going after this young Joseph. And so when she offers herself to him, his response was, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And then later on in chapter 39, verses 12, it says, she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Joseph displayed a complete obedience to God. You see, love for God must be unconditional. Your love for him cannot be based on your circumstance. It cannot be based on your level of comfortability, because that's not what unconditional means. Unconditional means no conditions, limitless. That's what it is. And so for Joseph, he displayed this level of love by being obedient. Now we go, well, how does being obedient relate to being sacrificial? Well, let me paint you a real life situation. Imagine Joseph in 2024 being on the football team. And after practice, he goes share this story with the guys. Hey man, you know, last night, you know, Potiphar's wife? Yeah, she was coming after me. She was coming after me day and night. She keeps coming after me. Matter of fact, she ripped my clothes off. I had to run and get out of there. How embarrassing for a man to run away from a woman like that. His love is not based on the circumstance. He sacrificed his embarrassment. Now, again, I don't know what it was like for him back then. I could only imagine what it is for me today. His love for God was unwavering. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind is going to require obedience. Will we choose it? Will we choose it? You know, times of despair and mourning and overwhelming circumstances, man, those times are real. And it could even seem impossible at times to have an unconditional love towards God. But the reality is, unconditional means there's no conditions. There's no prerequisites. And I get it. It's tough. I refer back to the story of Job. Many of us know the story. Job was a man who had faced personal calamities in his life. By the time you get to chapter 2, he's lost 7 daughters and 3 sons due to winds that caused the house to collapse on them. He lost all of his livestock, all of his servants gone. If that wasn't enough, he then was stricken with a vicious skin disease that allowed sores to build up all over his body. So when I say times of despair and times of mourning, Job, who's just a man, can understand what those times must be like. But again, the question is your love going to be based on circumstance? How can you find the strength to get out of bed when you're in those spaces? How can you find the hope when moments of your life seem hopeless? How can you experience what we're talking about, love, when you don't even sense God's presence in the moment? Love has to be unconditional. At least that's the one that Jesus calls us to. This week, I had a dear friend who called me up. Well, he called 4 of us, and he had us on a Zoom call. And this is a man I've known to have been faithful for over 30 years. He's married. He's got a wonderful son. And he's seen some rough days, but he's so faithful. But he called us up, he called us on an emergency Zoom call, and he said, "Brothers, I'm at the end. I'm done. For months, I've been praying. I've been calling out to God to help me in a situation that he know that it's impossible. I'm working 2 jobs, and it's still not enough. I don't even have enough to buy a gift for my son. I have a wife who is telling me that I need to do more." And he's talking to us in tears, and we're listening, and we're just watching him. This is a man that I've gone to spiritual battles many a times, and I've seen him in situations that seem impossible. But like Job, his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You know, when you think about this love that we're called to have, I'm gonna say it again, it cannot be conditional. We are not allowed to say, "I'm gonna love God if you take care of this situation, if you pull me out of this situation, if you take this pain from me, if." That's not what Jesus is talking about. He says we need to love him with all of our mind, heart, and soul. Because if we're putting all of these conditions, then it can't be love. It's something else, but it's not love. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. We know that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave up his only son. But when I think about that, I also read a little bit beyond it. And what I find is something else. Well, actually, it's not there. I'll read this to you. In chapter 3, verses 19, it says, the verdict, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. God knew that we love darkness before he sent his son. So he displayed to us, my love for you is not conditional. Jesus offered himself willingly to the cross because his love is not conditional. He went to the cross knowing that there will be some of us who will see the cross and still choose darkness. Yes, some of us said, yes, we are walking in the light. We're going to say goodbye to the darkness. But he knew before he did it that some of us will say, no, I still refuse to walk in this light. That is the epitome of unconditional, sacrificial love. And that's what he's calling us to have for our God. Now, the second verse, the second part of this verse, picks up in verse 39. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Now, I know for sure none of us have a problem loving ourselves. If there was a pop quiz, you would automatically pass. You know how to feed yourself when you're hungry. You know how to clothe yourself. You know how to take a shower when you're funky. You know how to take care of yourself. That's not something we need to worry about. But loving our neighbor unconditionally is the same love. I wonder. Jesus uses this example to kind of give us an idea what this love should look like. And this is going to pick up in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It's a long list. I won't be able to put it on the slide. So I'm going to need you to turn to your Bible, to Luke chapter 10, picking up in verse 25. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. In Luke 10, 25, it reads, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 28, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself and asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away. Leaving him half dead, they happened to be going down to the same road, and when they saw a man, In verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to a place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus replied to him, "Go and do likewise." Your love for your neighbors must be intentional and sacrificial. That is what Jesus calls us to do. Notice how Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Again, the love has to be accompanied by action. It's not enough to just say it. It's not enough. You have to complete that love by putting it into action. The love for our neighbor is going to require sacrifice. It is. Sometimes it's going to be not in our convenient times. In a church community like ours, we have plenty of opportunity to show this level of love to one another, don't we? We have plenty of opportunities, and it should be happening. We should be experiencing this level of love from one another, because there'll be times where you're going to be the Good Samaritan, being in the position to see that need and being able to try to meet that need. But on the flip side, there's going to be times you're going to be the one that got robbed and beaten, and you're going to need someone to come help you and show you that same level of love that Jesus talked about in this story. Now, I'm going to stop for a minute to brag about this region. So if you're visiting, sit back and just listen. So a couple of weeks ago, I came up and I said, "Guys, you know, we got campus ministry now in Westchester, and they have a conference coming up, and just like campus students, they're broke, but they want to go." And so I brought the need to the community. And by the time Shayla and I got home that night, we've already been able to send all those kids who wanted to go. Now, that's not because I made you do it. That's because you responded. You took love and you put it into action. It was so much that we had to tell people thank you, but we already got it covered. We already got the money to take them. We thank you so much for that. And so I know that it's happening. I know that there are those of us who are experiencing and expressing their love, not simply with words, but with action. But when I look at this story about the Good Samaritan, I also got to think about some other things as well. What other areas can we grow in? Because just like I said, the priests and the Levites saw the need of this man being beaten and robbed and did nothing. And so I wonder how much of this is here. I wonder. In 1 John 3:16, it reads, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and see a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." My question to you this morning is, if you see someone in spiritual need, why aren't you doing anything about it? Why aren't you doing anything about it? Could it be there's an unwillingness to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters? Could it be because it's not convenient at this time to get a little messy? If so, that's not love. Could it be that it's too much trouble to take on the burden of someone else? If so, that's not love. Not wanting to upset someone or to avoid the conflict or pushback that might come because you're speaking truth to them. If that's the case, That's not love. That's association. And we're not called to be associated with each other. We're called to be brothers and sisters. We are a family. And when we see the spiritual house on fire, we ought to go get some water. We ought to go get some help and help that person out. That's what it's supposed to be like. Now, but I'm not done. I'm not done. To those of us who are in need spiritually, but won't accept the help, let me let you know something. You're missing an opportunity to grow. You're missing an opportunity. The Samaritan offered the help to the man, and the man accepted it because he was aware of his need. Are you not aware of your spiritual need this hour? Are you so enveloped in your own life that you do not see your house is on fire? Are you aware? You've been stuck at the same place year after year. And when we came back around, you're still there. Why? Why are you refusing the help that in the community that you are a part of? These are the questions you must answer, because again, we're going to play the role of the Samaritan, but sometimes we're going to be the one that's beaten and robbed. But Jesus says to have unconditional love for one another. That's what he said. You know, I think about, again, how important it is to put into action what you believe. And I say this over and over because I'm being intentional about it. Shayla and I wanted to be here. Not because it was convenient for us to be here, but we wanted to join you in the struggle. And we wanted to join you in the victories. Because when that happens, not only do you and I grow, but God receives the glory. So you have to be intentional. You have to be mindful and purposeful and put your words into action. It has to carry that way. But the truth is, some of us, we don't want to hear it. Now, I know some of you are probably a little uncomfortable right now, but like, it's okay. We call that discipling. There was a time. And I say this, discipling is when we're bringing spiritual truth to you out of love. I'm not talking about the abusive stuff that we used to do back in the day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the love that I want to see you do well. I want to see you grow. I want to see you experience the joy and the love that God has already promised us, right? But I know it's uncomfortable for some of you because it's been a while since you've been discipled. It's been a while since someone sat you down and told you some spiritual truths about some of the decisions you're making in your life. But here's the thing. If we're not doing this, how can you say there's love in you? How can you see situations and are aware of it, but do nothing? He said it's not love. The love of God cannot be in us if we see our brothers and sisters in need, not just physical. Not just emotional, spiritual as well. This is what Jesus is talking about. We stop talking about the things that are necessary. We stop having these necessary conversations. We stop having conversations about our marriages. We stop having conversations about our homes, our parenting, our life choices. We say we love each other, but we got to put it into action. It's got to be seen. It's got to be felt. It's got to be known. And this is the encouragement. In Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens in that way you will fulfill the law of Christ, which goes back to the very scripture that we've read in Matthew 22. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If we only did one thing, which was love, we would have summarized the entire old covenant. That's inspiring to me because it makes things a little simple. I don't got to memorize all those commandments. Love. I'm going to love you as Jesus loved me. How? He sacrificed his life. He laid it down willingly. So I'm going to roll up my sleeves, right? I'm going to step out of my own comfort zone, and I'm going to step into your chaos with you. I'm not going to take it on as it's my chaos. I'm going to help you through it. I'm going to help you through this. It's going to take some time. Yep. It's going to take some energy. Yep. But guess what? My love for you is not based on my comfort. It's unconditional. And so if that's what we see in the scriptures, that's what we're called to. That's what we need to imitate. That's what we need to experience within the community that we're a part of. So as I'm closing out, love in action. That is the call. Love in action. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbors, your love must be unconditional. Do not base it on some feeling of today. Because if you know anything about dating, those feelings come and go. When you was 12 and you had that crush on that girl, that it came and went like the wind. It's not a feeling. It's not a circumstance. It's unconditional. It must be intentional. You must think about this. You must make decisions about this. And you must move in action with it. That's what love in action looks like. And finally, it's gonna be sacrificial. That means it's gonna make you uncomfortable. That means it's gonna take some time. That means it's gonna cost something of you. But it also means you're loving as Jesus called us to love. And if that's what it means, then take it all. Take it all. Because if my life sucks between now until I die, I have eternity with God. So that's all I need to worry about.